Kathleen, are you there?
I am here. How are you?
I am well. I am going to properly introduce you. Believe it or not, maybe I'll get it right this time. A communicable, too many syllables, disease investigator retired from the city of San Diego. She is among the very valuable virus watch team here at KPTZ. And she is one of two women who come to us on Tossed Salad on Fridays. And I believe, I know with Chris Bricker for sure on Tuesdays. I don't know if you're calling it Through Science to Health, are you?
I don't know that that's what they're calling it. It's simply a conversation.
Okay, well, this will be that as well. We're going to talk about the coronavirus, COVID-19, generally speaking around the world, but specifically too for Jefferson County. I am looking at the Jefferson County Public Health website. I see that we have 28 confirmed cases. We have 4 tests pending. So we conceivably might have up to, as of yesterday, 32 active confirmed cases, many of which actually are recovered. What do you make? That seems like an awfully small number compared to what I was expecting. How about you? What are you surprised?
Well,
pleased?
Right. I only report the facts. I don't make a guess about what those 4 tests outstanding would be. But please remember that our testing, our ability to actually get a sense of how many infected people we have here in Jefferson County has been hampered by lack of testing. And also Dr. Tom Locke, our local public health officer, has stated publicly that those 28 are confirmed, but he suspects that we may have as many as 10 times that number. Those are individuals who could not get the test but had classic symptoms, were told to go home, recuperate, and they have. So it's bigger than those numbers. Let's just remember that. That shouldn't be scary to us. It's just that there's a lot of limitations about why we don't know how much infection is here. And where are we with respect to the curve? My best thought on this is that when Governor Inslee ordered a stay-at-home order, those of us in the smaller counties who may not have, at the time, a lot of circulating virus benefited from closing down early. So we don't know till time goes by what this is going to really mean for us.
But nevertheless, at least because I was listening to conversations here at the radio station, reading the newspaper, listening to the radio station, I was frankly expecting at this time that we would be in dire straits here in this county, that the hospital would be overwhelmed and so on. And that may yet happen. I don't mean to minimize the likelihood of there being more people infected. On the other hand, trying to look at the positive side of this, it seems like we are doing good work among ourselves, and I frankly think we ought to give ourselves credit for it.
Our governor was wise in giving us the lockdown. I believe our county benefited from that and other small communities. But still, looking on both sides of us, whether it's Kitsap County or Island County over in Whidbey, they simply have more cases. It's really hard to sort of understand where we are until we get a little further what all of this has done. And one of the questions you were asking me is, do I see people practicing social distancing? I think we are. I see a lot of it. I've only been out twice in the last 2 weeks, so I'm trying to do my part. But when I do go out, I see more people wearing masks, lots and lots more precautions that are in all the public places like stores, grocery stores. So I think everyone is really contributing to starving this virus from continuing to infect people. We still are very early in this, though. That's my perspective as a public health person, having been through many of these before.
And I will say from my experience, I pretty much stay home as well, although home for me gives me lots of room to roam in the woods. But coming to town today, again, like I did last Friday, on my bicycle, primarily on the Larry Scott Trail, once I get off the shoulder, it's actually rather comical. other people walking in my direction that I'm bicycling or opposite just about jump into the water to get away from me. People are really serious about the social distancing matter. Last week, it was last week, there were two women who were walking side by side as far apart as they possibly could be. When they saw me coming, one of them stepped behind the other, at least 10 feet behind. I stopped at the Pandamora in the Boat Haven booth, and masks everywhere. I tried to wear my mask on my bicycle, however, and I found that it was helping fog up my glasses, at which point I couldn't see where I was going, so I decided I'd have to give up on the mask. But not much traffic out there.
Right, and it's most important to wear your mask and not touch your face when you're going into places where it's a little bit more crowded. And I don't see that the places you're cycling is very crowded, so it's not necessary. You know, masks can keep, they're hard to wear. It's hard to breathe in them. I certainly experienced that as an investigator when you go into a house. Those N95 respirators have to be fit tested, and I could only wear those for about a half an hour. So you get your list, you go in quickly, you get out, but it does help wearing those masks.
And Kathleen, I know that you asked me to send you a list of questions, and I did send you a list of questions by taking a picture of a piece of paper, but there's always something or other that comes to mind, and what's coming to mind now is reading I've been doing about the Spanish flu epidemic in 1918, and just how, in so many ways, this is a repeat.
It's a repeat on a mass scale. Different populations were more dramatically affected than the coronavirus epidemic that we have now. The Spanish influenza, which is an awkward name because it really didn't start in Spain, had a number of features that were really scary. We lost a lot of very young children, and it really hit hard of an age group between 15 and 28. And it spread all over the world easily because young men were coming back from the First World War and traveling in a lot of places. So, whereas in the coronavirus, the majority of people that have trouble once they're exposed and infected are people with underlying health conditions and individuals whose immune system may be waning as we age. So there is a difference, but on the scale, you're absolutely right. It was massive.
And what is disturbing to me as I read the experience in 1918 is how there wasn't really one pandemic. Oh, you could look at it that way if you wanted to, but there were waves of pandemic. And as I think you're saying, we're probably in the first wave, and we don't know what it really looks like, and we have some notion of what's to come, but we're really not certain about that either.
Correct. We know some things are working. We know social distancing is working, and that is like one of the last resources that public health has on its books to stem the tide of an epidemic, but we had to do it because it came so fast and we were so woefully unprepared, unfortunately, and we could not even, we could barely keep up, and you see in some cities with the impact on hospitals. So that's part of the reason why we use this, and we just don't have the testing. So, and maybe I should talk about the testing right now to give people a better perspective of where we are.
I would like that. Actually, I was going to ask you about testing and tracing separately and then together. So why don't you start with testing, and if I have questions, I will ask them.
Okay, so I'm following the tests that are FDA, that are permitted by the FDA at this point. We do not have any tests that have gone through the very serious, rigorous testing and to actually have a very high specificity and sensitivity, which means if you test and you're infected, it tells you you're infected. If you're not infected, it tells you you're not infected. But we don't have that kind of situation right now. We have the FDA granting what is called the emergency use authorization. The standards for the test are much lower than an FDA-approved test, so we don't have the ability to really depend on some of those tests, and we don't have the infrastructure to run them in mass.
Kathleen,
so those are the two things.
When I look at this county website and I look at the number of negative, the number of positive, are you saying that those results are not reliable?
We have some evidence that when you do a test with these emergency use authorizations, and this particularly comes from hospital staff who are running these tests for the virus, evidence of the virus, in a person who clinically is clearly a COVID-19 case, they're running negative. So we don't have as high That's what I'm saying. They're not as reliable as a fully vetted FDA process for testing. It's the only thing we have right now, Phil. So it's better than nothing.
There could be
people who are actually infected, and the test is not picking that up.
I quite understand what you're saying. Are there more reliable tests being used elsewhere in the world?
No, not that we know of. The process to vet testing process is very rigorous, and it takes time, just like a vaccine. So right now, we have two types of tests. One is a test for the virus itself. It's looking for a piece of the RNA genetic material, and the other is a test for the antibodies. Once your body has been infected, you're going to develop some response, and that's what the second test is. So right now, the testing for someone to look to see if they have the virus is still very limited. The gateway to get it is through your doctor. The antibody tests that are available are primarily being used to take a measure of seroprevalence in the community. And you hear on the news that, you know, USC through Schwarzenegger Foundation is supporting some seroprevalence studies, that the Center for Disease Control is, and they're sort of all over the country. And it's a quick way of getting an idea of how much of our population has met this virus.
Okay, so I am hearing more and more about antibody tests. And
right.
What I believe I understand is some people are getting those tests so that they can know personally whether or not they had the virus and have recovered from it. Is that a reliable,
right.
Is that a reliable test?
They are all the tests that FDA has okayed are emergency use authorization, and they have lower standards for meeting a criteria than a fully vetted test.
So the
answer is no.
The answer is no indeed. Well, I have also read about new testing technologies, or at least proposed new testing technologies, including in-home testing kits. Do you think those will be available? Will they be FDA approved, say, within the next year? How much progress is being made in that regard?
Well, what the in-home test can be of two kinds. It could be the swab that you stick to the back of your throat or in your nose, put them in a kit, and they're collected, or it could be a saliva test. So those are the two that are in progress right now. But I hate to sound not really helpful, but we were not able to mount a massive production of tests for the virus itself. We still have infrastructure programs of running thousands and thousands a day, and that we'd have to do a couple of hundred thousand a day to really get a good sense. There is progress in ramping up there. In terms of antibody testing, that would be the same process. So we're all trying to run to the finish line together, and it's a difficult race. That's all I can say.
The finish line is around the corner somewhere, and we can't see it. So it makes it all the more difficult to run to it. Do we have people been studying in one way or another the reliability of both the the swab test that people would get at the hospital or the antibody test? Do we have any notion? I know they're not FDA approved, but do we have any notion of how reliable they are? 90%, 95%, 50%?
I would not say they were 90 to 95. It would be lower than that. I would not surmise a guess. We have some anecdotal record from hospital staff that say, you know we have a full-blown case here, but they're still testing negative. So some of it has to do with the technology itself. Some has to do with, you know, are they using, are the reagents, not contaminated? Those kinds of things have happened in the past. You know, the British government just spent millions of dollars purchasing some tests. And when they started using it, they found that at least half the time, they were not reliable results. They, at the same time, once they do the antibody test, they were double testing for the virus itself, the first test that we had, and found that there was really a distance between if someone was really infected and it tested that way, or not infected and gave a negative test result. It's just too high. It's just too early to know.
So,
but we know that we'll get better.
I should certainly hope so. Governor Inslee and Governor Newsom and I believe Cuomo, many of them are now talking about in order to relax restrictions upon, people say the economy, I'm going to say society in general, the two most important components will be testing and tracing. A little disturbing to hear how pessimistic you are about the reliability of testing, but nevertheless,
this is not my opinion. You can go on.
Oh, I'm not saying it's just your opinion, but if we're going to move forward, we're going to be depending upon these tests as reliable as they are or are not. Maybe this is a mistake. Maybe we should stay locked down longer.
They all have to happen at the same time. There's no question about it. We will be able to open up. How we do it makes a difference. You know, public health has to meet business in some way so that the measures that we've been forced to take because of lack of preparation does not go on much longer. There is a way to do it, and lots of brilliant heads are trying to figure this out right now. But it's very clear that in this county alone, we've tested less than half of 1% of this population. We do not have an idea of how much infection is here. And every county in the state is in that position. So I don't think that's pessimistic. I think it's reality, and it's going to get better. We just don't know how long it will take. But there's a lot of ways to double-check yourself to see if we're on the right track. And I can guarantee you that's being done. So the other piece that you talked about was tracing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a standard practice in public health. We always have a test or we have a description of what a disease is. And the state of Washington, based on what the CDC wants us to follow, we follow a ton of diseases. So we test first, or there's a description of what is a syndrome. We find people, we isolate the folks that are most infectious, do contact tracing on other people that are near them. And we do interviews several times. And we've been able to control many serious diseases. And this is a standard practice. So do we have enough staff now? No, we don't. So if testing is coupled with contact tracing, there needs to be a ramp up of both of those things. And I can tell you in the last 15, 20 years, the money that has come to local health departments has decreased anywhere from 15 to 20%. There has to be a recognition on everyone's part that if you want this to go away and you want to get on top of it, you're going to have to fund the activities that make a difference.
And that's generally through local health departments?
Local and state, yes.
And because the president, governors, business, and so on wants to begin reopening tomorrow, or at least next month, or certainly no later than June, it seems like an awfully optimistic time frame. It seems like it might even not be a possible time frame if we need to have the funds to trace and a reliable test as well.
Yes. Yes. They're all going hand in hand. And as you know, there are different plans every other day. Yeah. And I really have faith that those people that are in charge are working very, very hard so that this is, does not continue to be such a strain on us. There's a price for not being prepared. I know that most people don't understand the functions of a health department or how diligently they work and how much they control infectious diseases in general. But, you know, everyone in the world is in this position. How do we prepare for pandemics? And I've been through not only HIV, H1N1, the swine flu, Ebola, SARS. We have lots of opportunities to prepare for this, and each one becomes a little more difficult as we go along. But there is a way to do this, and a lot of our attention has to be focused on this.
Testing and tracing.
Testing and tracing, and finding ways that we can open our businesses so that we don't have consequences from long, long closures. Each side is going to have to budge. And it's a new partnership that they're trying to forge, and each is on their soapbox, readily so. I mean, each has something to protect, but on the whole, we're going to have to look at very creative solutions for how we get back to a new way of living.
It is coming. We're going to want our masks for a while.
Oh yeah, and yes, absolutely. There's a great YouTube video where a woman puts on all kinds of masks. And she puts a lighter in front of her face, and each time she tries on a mask, she tries to blow it out, and she cannot blow that flame out. So if nothing else tells you how important this one piece is, besides hand washing and besides social distancing, till these other things are put in practice, we have a way to protect ourselves. And I have to remember that Jefferson County has 37% of our population greater than age 65. I'm in there, you're in there. And if this gets out of control here, which I don't think is the way we're heading, we have a huge impact on more than a third of our population here, which is our tax base, our supporters of arts, we have a reason to protect this community here because of our disproportionate age over 65. So that's something really important to keep in mind.
And one more thing to keep in mind for anybody who wants to test the mask they're wearing by using a match in front of it, well advised to not get the match too close to the mask.
I'm not assuming someone would would do that, but yes. yes, don't just get it too close. But the point is, you're not spreading anything,
right?
And you're protecting yourself, plus the hand washing and the social distancing. And we're going to see a lot more hand washing stations. If anyone wants to do this town a favor, why don't you buy one of those hand washing stations and that they have at Safeway and QFC and see if we can make our town much more adaptable to being able to practice these important public health measures.
Kathleen, when are we going to see hand sanitizer again? That Purell bottle that seemed to be ubiquitous that suddenly and totally has vanished?
Well, that too, people are ramping up for those. Mm. But I want to just caution you that I think the first line of defense is hand washing. We as a community should find a way to put many, many more hand washing stations in our community, and that will go farther than the hand sanitation, which is a backup. And if you use it 10 times in a row, you're going to have to wash your hands anyway because it's not going to work as well because you've got a lot of germ debris on your hands. So hand washing is the first line of defense for us. So let's transform our community and get more hand washing stations for everybody.
And you're going to tell that to the city manager and the mayor and the county commissioners as well, I think. And I need to say,
it's not only them. We have ways to purchase those ourselves and ask them to be put in the community. We can do things ourselves and support the kinds of efforts that our local politicians and health people are asking us to do.
If you have a picture of one of those, send me a link to it, please, and I will share it. I'll share it with our listeners. I can't do it on the radio, but I can send links that are sent to me. I can send them on to others. Kathleen Keenan, I need to say goodbye to you, and I need to say thank you to you as well.
Well, have a good day.
You do the very much the same thing, and I will talk to you in 2 weeks.
All right.
Okay.
Take care.
I will. Bye-bye.